Today about Soul Skills 101. This is a condensed version of some information I shared last year. Very much condensed, but we have some new info. Very excited to talk about how to access the full library of Soul Skill Sets. And so this is spectacular because we're at this point in time now, literally maybe just 6 months ago, we wouldn't have been able to easily talk about accessing all soul skill sets. And now the Earth has jumped ahead over 1,000 years. She's pushing this energetic limit, the envelope, for us, for herself, for the universe. And her embodiment of higher dimensions is proof that she's asking us to get back to the original experiment of consciousness on Earth, which means the embodiment of all dimensions, the manifestation of those dimensions in the 3D, and those original humans at the very beginning had access to all soul skill sets. And enlightenment affords us that access too. But enlightenment now is no longer mental alone. It is a physical process as well. And so let's talk about exactly what is this concept of soul skill sets precisely. Basically, you are like a ray of light. And if we can visualize the source field, it does actually have sort of a heart in this universe. Some people call it the central sun, and it is the entrance of the grander source field from the multiverse into this universe. So source actually is much larger than, say, just this universe. Source creates all universes. And when you try to push yourself to visualize that multiverse, many, many universes, that's kind of where your brain ends. In fact, the idea of a multiverse is even something quite new. And this source field is so grand and so spectacular, it's impossible for us to wrap our minds around what that really is. But what's really magnificent about all of this is that you are part of that same source field. And there is no separation between you and that incredible, massive creative intelligence. And so you are like a ray of light that comes from that source of light, that intelligent light that creates the multiverse. And that ray of light, of course, has certain attributes. No two rays of light are the same. And this is because of many factors. Certainly, obviously, that each soul has their own history. And so does your body. Your body has its own history, too. So we have two histories interplaying in our reality. We have the physical history of our DNA and all of the experiences of our ancestors written in these bodies, like an inherited house full of all the ancient information that your ancestors experienced. And then, of course, the soul's history. And that soul has had many different experiences, not just human lifetimes. In fact, oftentimes an incredible variety of experiences and consciousness. And that can deeply define who that soul is. And it's very interesting because as we get to the peak point of our discussion today, we're going to be talking about how to release yourself from identity altogether. And this is probably some of the most cutting-edge info because we are going to be acting just like Earth, she's the one who's carved this out and says, we must embody all dimensions. Let me show you how. So here we are on an Earth who's doing that, and we're along for the ride. So let's take advantage of it. Each of those rays of light that each of us, you and I, are, have certain qualities, and it's very intelligent light. Those skills, of course, are gained and utilized through many lifetimes in different experiences of consciousness. And you start out with a certain set of qualities, too. Some people have terms for this, actually, called soul groups. And so certain soul groups, for example, my soul group might be lots of psychics, right? And then there's all those empaths out there. And then there's all the shamans and all the healers. Wonderful soul groups. And certainly that doesn't relegate you to only one skill, but rather, at least there'll be one particular skill that will often stand out the most. So obviously, for example, mine is that I'm psychic. And so other skills I have, I'm a healer and a warrior. And those other two are very supportive for the work I do. And in this lifetime, I've chose to, and in many lifetimes, I have chose to mainly focus on up-leveling my psychic skills in order to become an oracle. But even that, even the up-leveling, is something that has been dropped from consciousness at this point for me, because I'm interested in following suit with the Earth and reaching and attaining formlessness. And so as I've found that while I'm shifting out of identity and layers of it, certainly there's many layers, I get more access to more skills. And that's what I want to talk to you about at our peak point today. So, of course, the upgrading of skill sets is quite fun. And that's something we do in every lifetime. Learning how to upgrade is something I will cover as well, but in brief, because the focus point is having access to the whole library. So we're basically always working towards being able to embody source fully while being in consciousness. Now, the biggest question I get is, how exactly do you know what soul skill sets you have? I want to show you how you can determine this. And then I'm going to list off what the soul skills and their upgrades are, and I'll give you a short discussion on how to advance them. And let's first, though, drop in. When I start listing these off, I want you to drop into your heart and gut. Don't use your brain mind. I'll help you to use your brain mind in a moment. But I want you to first feel. So we're asking your soul, you're asking your higher soul, your soul self, your witness self, to show you through your body which skills are truly yours. Now, the heart is going to feel open and expanded and warm. The gut is going to get excited simultaneously when I say some of these skills and their upgrades. And notice, too, that if I mention an upgrade, your body might react more dramatically than, say, just the basic level of that. So, for example, if you are a psychic, but you're actually up-leveled to, say, a seer, which is the moderate level of that skill, and your body gets more excited when I say seer, then that's going to be a clue that being a seer is where your soul is at this point. So notice that. So let's actually drop into our heart and gut now. And let's actually ask with a heart command. Ask our heart and our gut to help us out here. So we'll drop into the heart and we'll say, dear heart, please open up my whole body and field to being able to speak directly with my higher soul self. And share with me now, what are my soul skill sets as Elizabeth lists them out? And we say thank you, and then take a nice big deep breath. Perfect. Now, let's go into the list here, and I'll briefly describe these soul skill sets. First, of course, is the one you've heard me mention a couple times, psychic, an energetic and spiritual perceiver. And then that up-levels into being able to be a seer who has the endowment of profound energetic knowledge and insight. And the advanced level is, of course, the seer become the mirror, a true oracle, the embodiment of seeing. Good. So just feel into that. Let your heart and gut let you know. Do any of these pop out in your body? All right. And then the next one, soldier, a person with a defensive destructive power that uses it to preserve and create. Good. And then that, of course, up levels to the warrior, a soldier who's self-motivated. And then the commander, one who can understand the bigger picture and delegate to other warriors while retaining trust and loyalty. Really fabulous skill set. Now remember, you're going to have more than one skill set. You might have several. Be open to however many might pop out to you. Very good. The next we have healer, one who is drawn to make whole, healthy, or sound. And then we have the adept healer, one who has mastered many levels of healing. And, of course, then the master healer, one who has realized themselves as one with all and allows healing to become their full presence. I like that one. Good. And then we have communicator, one who is drawn to impart knowledge, wisdom, and information. And that up-levels to the teacher, storyteller, one who's capable of sharing information in a memorable and profound way. And then the master teacher and channel, one who can impart knowledge beyond their own knowledge on behalf of higher source. Beautiful. And then we have the builder, able to construct complex physical and non-physical systems or places. And the builder leads to the foreman, one who can visualize complex systems or places and delegate for completion. And the advanced level, the master builder, one who can connect, create, invent, and visualize many complex systems and places in order to attain a global scale creation, physical or non-physical. Good. And then we have the shaman, a bridge between other dimensional places and, of course, beings, the dead and the living. And the shaman also is one who allows transition to occur in their presence. They support transition. So lots of different kinds of transition, right? Birth, death, job changes, relationship changes. Just notice that in your body if that resonates. Then we have the medicine woman or man, one who can bring in the energies of many physical or non-physical intelligences in order to impart life-changing knowledge or wisdom. Good. And then we have the priest or priestess, someone who has sacrificed themselves to the continued maintenance of interdimensional connection and imparting of profound wisdom. And then we have the harmonizer, someone who is able to bring harmony to people, places, and things with their presence and their activities. And then we have the negotiator, the next level of the harmonizer, one who can manage, transact, conduct, and fulfill peaceful agreements from seemingly non-cohesive parts. And that leads to the master of concordance, a master orchestrator and conductor of harmony at many levels of existence. That one sounds really awesome. And then we have the conduit, a person able to convey and allow energy to move through them to other places, people, or things. And that up-levels to the information channel, which is a bit different than the communicator channel. Someone who can identify, use, and express the information or energy moving through them. Some people aren't called to up-level the conduit piece. Sometimes people simply are being asked to just be a conduit. And then we have the highest level of that skill, the channeler of dimensions, one who can identify, use, and express the interdimensional energy or information that moves through them. So it's not just information coming from, say, 3D, like the collective, the Earth, the galaxy, but many, many dimensions of energy and info. And then we have the strategist, a skilled person in combining and employing elements for an outcome. Lots of great strategists out there. And then we have the designer, the next level, one who can combine, employ, and transform elements to create a many-layered outcome. So not just a single outcome, but a multiple-layered outcome. And then we have the master architect, one who can envision, manifest, and command outcomes. Really powerful skill there. Then there's the creative, one who is able to evolve newly created works or inventions from their inner knowing and thought. And what happens to a creative? Well, they feel compelled to create. Are you one of those people? And then there's the innovator, someone who's able to put together multiple created works into grand works of profound use and creativity. And then the advanced level is the visionary, a person who can understand and manifest revolutionary works at many levels of reality. Really fun skill set there. Then we have the empath, someone who can feel many layers of energy physically and emotionally. And the empath can up-level to someone that we call the human vortex, someone who can command energy, physical and emotional, to shift and move through their personal space and energy and field. And the advanced level is the divine feeler, someone who can see layers of existence using feeling, emotion, and physical energy. I call those folks living bats, right? Because they're using their ability to see energy with their bodies, not just their third eye. Good. Then we have the transmuter, a person capable of changing energy as it moves into their field or their mental awareness. Then that leads up to the alchemist, one who's able to transform, weave, or transmute elements into something new energetically. And then the advanced level is the transubstantiator, one who can completely transform the substance of a physical or non-physical being or item permanently. Good. Then we have the embodier, a person capable of maintaining a specific energy on behalf of others. And the other level of that, the royal, a person who embodies divine attributes to serve mankind. Are you called to embody specific divine light and attributes? And then the advanced level of that skill set is apotheosis. Apotheosis, complex word, basically means divine embodiment, one who can embody interdimensional energies which transform themselves and others on behalf of the world or universe. Yes, so we do know people who fit that paradigm, right? There's lots of different people we can think of that fit these different skills. So, for example, when I think of this complex word, apotheosis, one who can embody many energies, interdimensional, which transform themselves and others, one person that comes to mind is Amma. And she literally can hold thousands of people in her field and transform them with the interdimensional energies of love, right? So certainly worthwhile to look at those energies and all of their advancements. Now remember, if you felt like I went through this too quickly, you can go back to listen to it again and again because it's recorded, and you'll be able to access that recording and download it for yourself from the link that you received to access this call. Very good. So with that list, what really popped out for you? Could you feel your heart get really excited and your body or gut get excited when I mentioned some of these? Now, what I'm asking you to do by going deep into your body to feel that is to use your three minds, the brain, heart, and gut. In this case, we focused in on the heart and the gut. Now, if you're not used to that particular way of working, it can be a bit of a challenge at first, right? So let me give you a tip. To really access the power of your heart and gut, you're going to want to ask them questions regularly. So if you've never done that before, start out with questions that you already know the answer to and ask them yes or no questions. So if you go back to the recording and then write out the list of these skill sets, then you'll be able to actually systematically go through and ask your heart and gut, "Dear heart, is this a skill set that my soul has attained?" That's a yes or no question, right? And if you've been practicing and you've been asking questions that you already know the answer to, then you're going to know how it feels when your heart says yes, when it says no, and when your gut says yes or no, right? So this is a part of what I call the three minds technique, being able to use all three brains in the body to serve you spiritually and physically. And in this case, we're sort of using the body like a machine to assess, what are the skill sets that I have and have come through with? And how advanced are they? And then with that information, you're going to be able to understand where you're at, what foundation you're at. And from there, then, be able to shift into deeper formlessness. Now, of course, a really good question is, how do we advance these skills? And I'd like to give you a short summary about how to do that exactly. There are certain universal things that you can do to advance these skills. And, of course, there's lots of specific things you can do, but I'm only going to cover in this class the very specific things that, the very universal things that all of our souls can, of course, advance from. So, for example, getting to know your past lives. If you can get to know your past lives, you'll find that there's lots of lessons that are repeated over lifetimes so that soul can become more advanced in a specific way. And certain lessons are actually best understood over very long swaths of time. So our soul's evolution is really unique and very special to each person. By understanding your past lives, you can actually start to learn bigger, broader concepts that will lead you to the exact soul skill sets and advancements that you've attained. And these big, broad concepts that you can discover are, what are the polarities that you keep coming in to work with? What experiments in consciousness have you been a part of? What were the historical ebbs and flows that brought you back into certain times in history? And what broad stretches of action have you taken as a soul over time? Let me give you some examples. So as you're looking at your own past lives, in order to understand what your soul skill sets are and where where you are in advancement, you might find that there's certain polarities that pop up a lot. So for me, my polarities often have been looking at good and evil over and over and over again. Shadow and light, good and evil, which seems like a super broad polarity to work with, and it is. But to be able to heal this concept of good and evil in myself then led me to another polarity around shadow and light, and being able to hold and maintain the middle ground in a neutral place of unconditional love then helps me to heal that polarity in myself around shadow and light, and leads me to a higher state of oneness, which automatically advances my own soul's skills. Then experiments in consciousness, really specific things that I've been involved in, and not just on Earth. So I have very, very clear memories of specific lifetimes. For example, something I don't talk about much is where I spent a lot of time before I came here to Earth. I was on Lyra, a little planet near the star Vega, and that's actually the home of where DNA was created. And so I was actually a part of that experiment in consciousness. How do we create physical forms that we can inhabit over and over again? And then we seeded a lot of different planets with this DNA, which later became other family members that we know well, the Pleiadians, Sirians, Arcturians, and others. So consider also, what experiments have you been involved in? If you were an Arcturian, were you working with cymatics and how sacred geometry can create healing and how frequency creates form? Were you working as a Pleiadian, where you were learning about how to create change through different substances and elements of the universe? Or a Sirian, where you were engineering experiments in consciousness? Or were you from the Orion people who became the Lemurians and later the Atlanteans? Were you from the Dogon people who were also in Orion and were master builders and architects and actually created many of the ancient sites that we have all over this planet? Lots of different beautiful family lineages with their own experiments in consciousness. And then historical ebbs and flows. A lot of times, people will come in at specific times. For example, lots of folks I know would always come in during these really peak, crazy moments on Earth. Like, recently, had a beautiful client who kept coming in during plagues. She had multiple lifetimes where she was involved with helping people during plague time. Really interesting. Obviously, that points to the fact that she's an incredibly powerful healer and a strategic healer, right? So that shows that she's a strategist and a healer, which she strategically chose as a soul to come in during certain plague times. Now, this, of course, was because she's out to help people, of course, yes, but also to advance her own soul and certainly to help make sure that the experiment on Earth didn't get completely wiped out. So she had an invested, multi-layered reason to keep coming in during plague times. Now we have, then, of course, these broad stretches of action over time. When you're able to really examine your past lives, then you can get a sense of the bigger, longer, more complete picture of who you are and why you came in. And so that's always very interesting. Now, of course, then, the next thing that can help advance your soul skills is full body utilization. It's really important to understand that you need to use the whole body to advance yourself and your skill sets. Using the three minds, the brain, heart, and gut, is important for all skill levels. They are your discernment tools and the physical way to get to know your skill set. So recognizing that you are a soul utilizing this human body technology is a very good mindset to come at life with and that can help you in many different areas, including advancing your own skills. And of course, the importance of adversity and failure. Obstacles and problems that we face are actually the most potent ground for soul skill set advancement. And certainly, failure really is the very best way to learn how to succeed. And so, the issues that you face in this lifetime, you need to ask some very important questions of yourself. How can this particular issue help me advance? What skills does this issue advance more than others? How can I use this time to self-examine and go really deep to erase even more ego? How can I be in more integrity? These all can help you consistently, almost more than anything else, to advance yourself. There is no better playground for self-realization than adversity, obstacles, difficulties, and failure. And then we come to the importance of trust. In order to deepen any skill set, we've got to learn how to trust in Source. And we are all part of that field of energy. The illusion of separation is just an illusion. So part of the advancement to the highest levels of a skill is the removal of the personal will and the ego and the replacement of that with divine will. And to do this, we have to learn how to surrender and to trust in the highest intelligent light which has created the universe. When we face issues and problems in our lives, we often get frustrated by the feeling that we have no support, right? We feel that this is not happening. The universe and the source doesn't seem to have our back. That's also an incredible illusion. The obstacles we face are literally there to make you stronger. And Source is us at all times, learning and expanding through us. If we can't trust that, then we can't advance. I want to help you with this. There is a special heart command that I use to help heal the polarity around who to trust, yourself or Source. And so let's drop into the heart and say this out loud with me. Dear heart, I open myself fully, my whole body and field, to know that to trust myself is to trust Source, and to trust Source is to trust myself. I fully surrender to this glorious, beautiful fact. Now, and take a big deep breath. Good. Now, of course, there is a couple of other ways you can advance your skills. Finding a teacher. My teacher, Lucia Renee, always would say, if you want to go slowly towards enlightenment, then do it by yourself. If you want to go fast, then find a teacher. And certainly, there's going to be lots of teachers in our lives. Who will you choose as a teacher? Some of those teachers are going to be younger and less, simply just younger and less experienced years-wise, but might have come in with a super old soul. So, for example, my kids are some of my greatest teachers, but they aren't quite the teacher that I'm talking about. So we can find teachers everywhere, as we should, in each other, in the world of nature, in the animal kingdom. But to find a master teacher, someone who's mastered a particular skill set so well that they are fully advanced in that skill, that's what I'm talking about. So if you find a skill that you're wanting to master more fully, look around. Ask Source to guide you to the right teacher. In fact, that's how I found my teacher, Lucia, and although she hasn't trained me to be a psychic per se, she trained me to track energy, to be a warrior. She trained me in a lot of other ways, which ended up helping me be a better oracle. And she's always continued to help me and train me in that way. And so good teachers certainly don't just teach with their words. They teach with their actions and the way that they've set their lives up. And by noticing that and being around that and being in that energy, you absorb more power and light and you advance yourself. And so ask for Source to set you up with the right person. Now, I have something interesting to say about that too. Sometimes our teachers are actually problematic, right? Sometimes teachers have a lot of ego, or they've gotten into some kind of false light stuff or whatever. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not going to learn from them. In fact, being around certain teachers who still have ego and are struggling through that, or still are dealing with shadow stuff, even if they haven't fully acknowledged it, if you're able to notice that and learn from it, then you're going to avoid having to go through that same exact trouble and issue yourself. So noticing how our teachers have failed and respecting that as part of their journey and advancement, right? Well, we can learn from that too. So your teachers are never going to be perfect. And to notice that and recognize that before you even get involved in them is excellent. It's even better if a teacher's totally open about how they failed, which is what I always try to do, try to make sure that I talk about my own failures first. And I think that that's a quality sign of someone. But again, many wonderful teachers out in the world who still struggle with shadow and ego doesn't mean that you can't learn from them. In fact, learning from their failures can help you even more than you might think. So then we have this next step, which is removing the personal will for the entrance of divine will. Full advancement of your soul skills into the highest levels requires a person to be able to recognize their own personal will and being able to step out of that so that divine will can take over. Simply, it's just that you become more Source and less individuated, separated, and egoic. And this is always something we want to work towards. Now, there are very specific ways to get that done. And I taught what I call the Equations of Enlightenment in an earlier class, which is the first part of a longer series. This is the second class to my 9-part Applied Multidimensionality series. And that class, Equations for Enlightenment, gives you the exact foundation you need to truly attain that higher state, that more formless state. And formlessness is simply the name of the game at this point. I encourage you to go and check that out if you'd like to. It's on my website, seerandscientist.com, if you go down to offerings and you can search under Applied Multidimensionality. You'll find that class. All right, and then, of course, you need to understand power. On this journey to soul skill set advancement, we can't underestimate the nature of power. Power can be a corrupting force, putting our desires before natural law. And as we become better at our skills, we can feel the rush of power entering into our lives. I'm going to talk about this a little later. This power is not something that you can really wield or use. And if you try, you'll find yourself surrounded in false light ready to feed off of you because you're going to have a lot bigger of an ego. So when we try to wield power, that's when things go wrong. Instead, power is something that uses us, not the other way around. In fact, the highest energies of power really can't be used by anyone with ego. So if you want full access to the library, recognizing that power will use you and that you do not use power is very key. And the full advancement of all your skills will require less and less ego to be present. eventually, instead of us becoming powerful, we become power itself. We become a place of power. And when you become a place of power, you also get access to all skills. And this power is source, direct. When we advance, we become more source and less us. And this is the key to universally advancing yourself, your soul skill sets, and getting into, well, how exactly do we get access to all the skills? So before we cover that, I'd like to talk to you about other ways you can discover how to know what skills you're good at. I mentioned the most important one, and we tried to give it a little practice run. Certainly something you can keep trying to do around using the heart and gut to help you. But let's mentally look at how you can also assess what skills are yours. Patterns in your life. Lots and lots of interesting patterns. It's worthwhile to sit down and actually write out a timeline of memories. This is sometimes difficult because a lot of us have had some serious trauma. But if you're able to use that timeline to help you identify, say, for example, frozen inner child traumatized selves, well, that's handy. Then you'll really know where you need to do a little bit of frozen child work, right? And then, of course, you're also going to be looking for events that have consistently happened over and over again. And those patterns are key. Let me give you some examples. So, for example, if you're an empath, you're going to have patterns pretty consistently throughout your life, almost every day sometimes, where you feel energy so intensely and you're trying to figure out what it is. What is this energy? Is it mine? Is it someone else's? Is it the collective's? Most empaths come in quite immediately being an empath. And so they've learned over time how to survive and how to get by. Yet they're also very deeply conscious in situations about energy, more so than other people. So say a group of people, they're going to be able to feel the room. You know how people say, read the room? Well, that's more something like a psychic does, reading the room. That's something you do with your eyes, right? Your mind and the third eye. But an empath feels the room, and they're going to constantly have examples of that either being overwhelming, difficult, or they're constantly learning exactly how to navigate that. So there'll be situations where that skill came in handy, where they could feel, oh, that person's not someone I want to be around. Even though everybody seems to like them, I don't feel so good about that. I can feel the energy behind whatever they're doing or saying, and it doesn't feel right to me. And they've learned how to trust eventually, trying to often learn how to trust their feeling. And if they fail at it, then they're always going to have patterns, opportunities to learn how to trust themselves again and again. Learning to trust the source field and how it feels, how it's moving through other people, helps you cut through the illusions of how things might hear or seem with your eyes. The empath can feel behind all of that. Really important skill. Another example is for the embodier, the royal, the queen or king, the one who maintains a throne room, a field of energy. So an empath's energy field is very large, and so is the embodier. And the embodier is going to consistently find that they seem to sort of be maintaining a field. And all these people and places and things kind of come into the field. And at first, that person might struggle with how they actually play a role, because it can be really difficult in a world that fears narcissism, right, in order to be able to actually be a queen or king embodying energy. and the ideas of being a queen or king have certainly been corrupted by power, haven't they? So we have all these embodiers on the planet who, even though within they know that they are a queen or a king, they fear actually stepping into that because they don't want other people to get upset or to react to their empowering way of being. And that will often show up as a pattern in people's lives where even though they were meant to take a very center stage energetic, they are afraid to. And until they learn how not to be afraid to do that, they're going to find patterns over and over again that set them up with those same situations. And that's really key to notice. And another example I'd like to give is the shaman. I mentioned that the shaman is the person who helps with transition. And so often when I speak to people about their skill sets, I'll point out, I'll say, literally, because I can see it, hey, you're always there when transitions happen. You're the one that everyone calls when their pet dies or their mom dies or somebody's going to be born or some change in their life is happening. You're the one who everybody calls when that change is occurring. And that's a sign of a shaman. So there's these patterns that will show up for people who have that particular skill because they're a bridge. They help people go from one party to another. They help people move out of those liminal spaces, right? The in-between spaces. When you're moving from one thing to another, big, huge transition occurs. And it can be very, very difficult to do alone. And so, of course, none of us are meant to walk this world alone. Instead, the shaman is always there to help with that time in people's lives. And they'll find that they are always the ones who get called up because they're so good at helping move people through those times. So that's something else that I have noticed, for example, in a few different skill sets. When we talk about patterns, what people are going to notice about their lives. And I think that's important. That will help you to determine what are your skills. Then there's some other really important questions. Who exactly did you come to serve? Which vulnerable groups or people seem to come up the most in your life? So, for example, if you are a communicator, oftentimes, the communicator ends up becoming a teacher because they absolutely love communicating about a particular subject over and over and over again. It's never boring to them. And that means that certainly those people will become teachers for children and sometimes even college teachers, right? So you'll find if you wander through schools, energetically, you can find all these different teachers. They're actually communicators. And they're channels of communication and wisdom and knowledge. And it's quite amazing. And so they came in and they found a very deep desire to want to teach the children. And they ended up following that desire. So then, of course, what about, for example, the animals? Animals are a vulnerable group. There's going to be a lot of people who will find themselves really drawn to a specific group, like animals or teachers will be wanting to teach the children or the young adults or just whomever wants to come in to the field. And then we have, of course, you know, the embodier, the queen or king. They're really here to hold space for any person, place, or thing that comes through. But they might find that they have a healer skill set too. And sick people, another vulnerable group, sick people are going to come into their lives a lot more and need help. And then you have the warrior, perhaps. The warrior will find that they really, really want to, for example, help deal with some kind of conflict, right? So my brother, he came in as a warrior, and he knew that he wanted to be a combat pilot since he was a little bitty kid. And we always joke around as a family about me remembering that he used to pray at the window every night, please let there be a helicopter that lands in the backyard tomorrow. But he knew that he wanted to help to serve via the military and do whatever it would take to help the U.S. military fulfill whatever they were fulfilling. He ended up helping a lot of people who were being tortured and murdered over in the Middle East, and he was helping save them. And so that was a vulnerable group that he came in to save, the foreigner in a really difficult situation, a war that wasn't of their making, many, many children and families, and he was able to help them. That was his big purpose. That was his big group, right, that he came in to serve. And for me, as an oracle, my job is to serve anyone who comes into my field. So I remember when I was trying to do some marketing work, they always ask you the same question, who is your ideal client? And I can't answer that. I don't have an ideal client. Anyone, everyone, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. So to me, Ben, I'm here to serve the planet. I'm here to serve humankind, which is why I ended up in anthropology, the study of humankind. And that's what I want to do. So interestingly enough, I find that sometimes I'll be asked to do some animal communication, which I really enjoy. But that's not actually the group that I'm called to serve the most. It's simply the human species I'm called to serve. So that's been interesting to discover. Who am I here to serve? Who are you here to serve exactly? And certainly there'll be different titles and names for groups that have come through your life, right? So I know some amazing nurses who've dealt with hospice care. They were drawn into it passionately. They couldn't even necessarily say why, but they were there. They wanted it. They wanted to do that job. They wanted to help that person transition. And that's something that they really love to do. So that's really a special thing. Notice who comes in, who comes into your life the most for you to help out. And then another question is, what kinds of events keep happening over and over? Those patterns, yes, you'll find patterns, and they're not always necessarily tied to really specific events, perhaps energetic mindsets or ideas that come in, or ways of acting in the world, ways of being in the world. But then there's also events. So notice really carefully in your timeline there, you know, what are the events that have defined you? I can give myself as an example, knowing that I could see many things that other people couldn't. I have very specific events that I can talk about from a very, very young age that defined the fact that I'm a psychic, but I'm not just a psychic. I became a seer, and then I became an oracle in this lifetime. And so this was really key. I literally can sit down and describe to you all the key events that led me to do the work I do. And so can you for yourself. You'll notice that when you start to dig into these different skill sets, that there'll be very key events throughout your life that you can look at in this lifetime and help you define what skills you have and what you've brought in. And then, of course, what are the issues that you see in your life the most? The problems. The problems are really important. Not only are they great learning vehicles, but they are also really a good way to define what skills you have access to. So for me, my problems, well, for example, going into a party and realizing that the house is haunted. And this is a problem because my hostess is literally being tortured by this ghost. And I had to help her deal with that right away, because certainly there's not going to be any way I'm going to walk away from that issue. So I had to reveal myself as being able to tell that this was true, and she was so happy I was able to help her. And then other problems, getting into a relationship for example, where my partner just didn't believe in any of the things that I see, even though over and over again, I was able to show that what I was experiencing was real. And that was a really big problem for me. It also became very apparent that I needed to have a relationship that my partner, he doesn't necessarily have to see anything, but I needed him to be able to believe and trust me. And that was really an important problem in my life. Multiple times being in relationships where that person was not a good fit energetically, and I had to learn that through a lot of different suffering and failure. And so that was those are some big problems that I've faced, and some of them had good outcomes, some of them not so much. Either way, I learned a lot about who I am and what I need to be able to be supported in the work I'm doing, and so can you. So don't fear going through to look at all of the issues that have come up through your life. They're going to tell you exactly what you're good at and who you are and what you need to do a good job with your skills. So I want to, before we go into our next hour talking about how to access the whole library, I would like to answer any questions that have come up. I just piled on a whole lot of information for you. You're welcome to type into the Q&A any questions or comments that you have. And then if you'd like to speak with me live, you can press star 2 to raise your hand. And I'm looking forward to speaking with you if you have any questions that come up for you. Very good. So Nikki has a good question. She says, how the heck does a fairy empath visionary scientist apply her skills anyway? Making jewelry and shrines, teaching meditation, and sustainable community building is what I'm currently working on. But my gut says something else must be manifested here. Ideas? That's a great question. It's true, right? We have these interesting ways we end up defining ourselves. Fairy empath, visionary scientist. Absolutely. I love that. Yes, so my suggestion, Nikki, go in and really list out the attributes, the sub-attributes of each of those attributes you just mentioned, right? Fairy, spontaneity, playfulness, no structure. Empath, being able to feel energy so well that you can literally see it with your body. Visionary, being able to maintain an incredible, big, huge sense of the whole world and its layers beyond yourself. And of course, scientist, being really interested in outcomes and of course, experiments, and being able to get those outcomes more than once, right? In science, we're interested in being able to have outcomes happen over and over again. Get those measurable results more than once. And that's very key. And science is also about inquiry, going in and saying, well, I have a hypothesis, whether it's true or not, let me find out. Constant inquiry into the self, constant inquiry into the group that you might be dealing with, right? So if you're helping teach meditation, you're also scientifically inquiring into the energetic of the group. And you're going to throw in a little spontaneousness and some playfulness and some lack of structure, perhaps, to make sure it's really interesting. And, of course, you're going to feel all the different energies as they happen throughout that period of time that you're doing that teaching and be able to navigate it and help the whole group navigate it, right? Because as an empath, you'll be able to feel all of that. And as a visionary, helping everyone take whatever you're showing them or giving them, helping them attach it to a greater goal beyond them, right? Very important for people, isn't it? Humans really need to have greater goals beyond themselves. And certainly, the ultimate goal is to discover what is love. That is the experiment that created this universe. And that there's really no better goal, is there, to attach any of the work we do what is love, to really fully understand that is the whole purpose of why we're even in existence. So quite interesting. I think what you'll want to do, Nikki, is continue to look at your list, add to it, and then create sub-factors that define those aspects of that self. That way, you'll be able to see this really fantastic description, this array, this kaleidoscope that is you. And if certainly, just like any kaleidoscope, you're always evolving and changing. But what's inside the kaleidoscope in this case remains the same. So all the little beads and little bits and pieces of energetic light, qualities of light, well, that makes you, Nikki, and that makes each of us. We each have our own kaleidoscope, and through time, we're allowing light to move through that, and eventually, we'll have access to the entirety as we continue to move any structure out of the way that keeps us from being able to allow light to move through. You'll have access to the entire spectrum of light. And then that's when it gets really interesting, right? Because then you're actually going to be taking that beautiful list of defining qualities and all of the sub-qualities that those qualities all have, and you're going to be releasing it. And I'll show you how in this conversation in a few minutes. But I want to, first, we need to know what qualities are we working with exactly. And honestly, whatever inspires you, Nikki, what can you continue to manifest? Whatever inspires you, what shows up each day? The source field is going to bring you those opportunities. And what to manifest? Well, I do think, Nikki, that you're a really great person to help bring retreats together. That's something I think that you and I have talked about before. So considering that, bringing together many different types of teachers that you appreciate, because you're like a connoisseur of teachers. That'll be really interesting for you. Good. So if anyone would like to raise their hand, you can press *2 and we can speak if you have any questions about what I've talked about. And you can certainly write in some more. So I'm just refreshing things, make sure I'm up to date with everyone here. Good. All right. So we have someone from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're live. Hello.
Hi. I think I'm off mute. Yes. It's Dakey. Hi.
Hi, Dakey. Glad to have you.
Thank you. There was something you said right at the end that really, stimulated me. But when you were talking about the relationship and learning about needing to have a partner or people close to you who believed and trusted in you.
Yes.
And it just came up in caps that my experience with you as a teacher is that you help people. You help me to believe and trust in myself. That's what this whole event here is somewhat about, to get to know ourselves. And that reflection of being trusted and believed in order to better know ourselves and our skills and to be able to advance, it was just such a beautiful, it was like a little Mobius strip or something.
For
like,
sure.
And, you know, but more particularly, it fed into, I got so angry with you during this earlier presentation. And this does not happen to me. This is lovely because it never happens to me. And you of all people, because I felt you weren't speaking to me, that you were just laying out concepts and I couldn't keep up.
Mm.
And there was this sense of how that is so going on all around me, not just personally at all, that it's a global thing, you know, where we can't trust ourselves, we don't trust ourselves, and trying to trust in things that we're full of and we're dependent on that no longer serve us is frightening. I am so frightened by what you're saying that I can't even hear you. And it, so it seems like you're going too fast or you're
yes,
not, absolutely. You know, whatever. And I just saw that whole pattern, and I had to share because I'm whelmed with it, and it is getting in the way of my completely hearing you today, and wondered if you wanted to speak to it.
Well, I actually felt it, which is why I mentioned after I was listing off these descriptive terms, right, the definitions of skill set. I could feel that, so I said, make sure to go back and listen to it again, because I was going through it quite quickly. And
I know,
yes,
and I want it all now. I want to digest it. I need to chew. I can't just gulp like a carnivore.
Sure. It's true. Yes. And definitely kind of trying to keep a cadence that will fit for everyone, right? So if
yes.
we were all
and
in person, it'd be easier, wouldn't it, to be able to talk more slowly in a way that everyone could digest easier. And I think that's definitely a good critique to make sure my cadence is a little bit easier for people to keep up with. Usually my cadence is a lot slower, isn't it? So that's a good
yes.
point. Yeah, that's a
but,
good point.
But wait, and thank you. Thank you for being so receptive. This is why I love you. However, don't miss the point here, because I feel as if I'm in a world where I can't keep up, and
yeah.
the kind of fear that is generated where I have done nothing wrong, but I can't keep up, and I'm being left behind or banished.
Yeah. Oh, that's big.
And so, yeah, thank you, because it's just like, it's so distracting right now. I'm just in the midst of it. So it's not about you. I don't get reactions like
sure,
that.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's not you. I just, when I dug into the anger, it was this fear.
Yeah. When I zoom out at this, too, this is a really important polarity around acceptance and banishment. But instead of acceptance, per se, the other side of the polarity then would be being able to go with the flow, right? To be able to be included, inclusion with the flow. And then on the other side, we've got banishment and the inability to be included or feel included. So that polarity really pops out to me in this case as something that might be at the very root of the anger. And does that resonate with you?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. A kind of left behind, but also it's so connected with the skills, because
yeah.
I you know, the embodiment of this is, I don't know quite what it is, but the energy of embodying our skills is just huge to me.
Yeah, it is. Ironically, the next step, the big piece that I'm noticing for the planet is once we've defined these skills and embodied them, then it's time to let them go.
I know.
And that's where I think you're going to be more comfortable, Dickie.
Thank you.
You're probably getting pulled into being willing to shift all identity out of the way, which is why you're frustrated. Because I think that you're beyond embodying your skills. I think that you've already done that. And now the next step will be formlessness. And the earth saying to all of us, we need to be formless. And everyone's like, what the heck does that mean? how does that work?
I got to say, God, my body is just going, thank you. I mean, I really feel that. It's like, it's been really hard to get here, letting go of all these identities. And, you know, it's like, I've been avoiding this since the fall
yeah.
when you did the first session. And now I'm here and I really want it. I feel teary and weak. And I don't mean to make this personal, but I do think it's part and parcel to the whole job here of stepping into our formlessness and into all of it, not a piece
yeah.
of it.
Right.
So,
I agree.
Okay. Okay, I'm in the right place then.
Yeah, I got you covered. It's sort of like, hey, here's all the rules so we can break them. Here's all the skill sets so that we can be them all. And so while some people really want to know exactly what soul skill sets they have, and then others are going to certainly be more interested in embodying the whole library. So it's sort of like, not everybody's ready for formlessness quite yet. And then there's those who are. So that actually feels more correct to me, too, like that if anyone else on the call has heard Dakey and what she's saying, and they feel like, all right, I get all this, but what I really want is the next big step here, because this all makes sense to me, but I've already done that. And that's what I recognize. So it's sort of like, all right, everyone, here's what the first party looks like, and if you're still here, this is what you need to do. And then I'm going to lead everyone to the next party, which is when you shift all of the identity away in order to embody all skill sets through formlessness. And it's effortless at that point, but there are specific things you got to do that, to attain formlessness. And I think that's where it'll get much more supportive for those who are interested in that party, right, Dickie?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and if anything, I just bling at transitions. I bling at seer. I bling at so many of them, but in particular, that space between one place and another, which is, it's in every one of these skill sets. We're all doing that. And there's only stillness. That's the only place to access that stuff.
You're right. And when you look at the very high advanced levels of all the skill sets, it's the person who has fully moved out of the way to become that light. And that's where we're all headed. We're all headed to get out of the way and become whatever light is needed in that moment, whatever skill that might be. And so it's a funny place because it's sort of like where humanity is at in general, right? We're on the cutting edge of this serious big shift in consciousness, and no one's been here before. And so we're kind of like awkward teenagers. Like, I'm still getting to know who I am, but I have this, you know, I'm also drawn into all this power that I can't wield, but I'm being asked to be this power. But first I need to know who I am. As it is. It's like humanity's just been relegated to being teenagers again. We're brand new on this one, and we're all in it together, no matter what age we're at. We're all in it together on the edge of this, and that's creating a huge state of equanimity, but it's also kind of awkward. So that'll be interesting how it unfolds.
Well, for me, I thank you and everyone listening to have presenced in this state. I have what feels like a rather large emotional set of processes to move through because there's just such a flow of energy that's releasing. And thank you all. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for being here, so that being able to be so open for us to learn from this. I deeply appreciate
it. Oh, you're so generous. I was absolutely desperate. But open is good, too.
Well, I don't mind at all, and I'm so happy to support you along this. Thank you so much.
You're really welcome, and thank you.
Absolutely. All right, good. So if anyone else was feeling irritated at my cadence, I'm going to slow down now. And that's okay. All right, we have a couple of other questions that came up. And again, thank you to Dakey for opening up where she's at. And that really helps us all to be able to make sure we're getting the information, embodied it, being able to swallow it better. All right, so Celine says, great teaching, thank you. Is attraction to words and names on the attribute list as you spoke them an indication that the brain mind is still in the driver's seat? Concepts come almost in the instant of the spoken word. Even trying to feel the heart sensations, it's actually an image I get more than a bodily sensation. So first, of expanding space, and second, for some, a container, a cone, upside down triangle in the chest space. I took the image of expansion as the one more closely aligned to my soul skills. Thanks for any tips. Yeah, right on. I think that's fine. You know, I'm also like that, Celine. As someone who really heavily depends on my ability to see energy, right, and not so much to feel it, though I've learned that using my seeing, feeling, and knowing, brain, heart, gut, has served me better, I'm still way, way better at seeing energy than I am feeling or knowing it. So the challenge, sure, I think, you know what, Celine, what we're trying to do is open up into the heart and gut, but what ended up coming from your heart and gut was going to ended up being visual. I think that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It certainly is what happens for me too. And so I think keep playing around with that. Keep seeing if you can bring online the seeing, feeling, and knowing, and try to consistently balance the three. And you'll find that, yes, certainly you'll always be better at one than the other, or a couple than the other. But I think that you'll find a more balanced approach and be able to use the full body experience. And there's no perfect way to do this. There's no exact methodology to try to get your brain out of the way, especially when you can see energy better than you can, say, feel it. So that's something that is just something you'll play with and practice with. And yes, I absolutely believe that if something lit up, certain descriptive words lit up for you, that's key. And I want to explain, too, that the definitions of these soul skill sets, these were channeled. I worked really hard to bring through qualities of light that would define each of these skills completely. And that channeled energy is not mine at all. That came from the library. The way that those words were written out was from that library. And so they weren't mine at all. And I think that that's really important. And that's why those specific definitions can be helpful to you. Listen to those words. So, for example, a harmonizer. I found that certain keywords will actually activate people a lot. Activate in that they'll feel much more connected to their skills. And so harmonizers, much of the time, if I'm doing a session with someone and someone's a harmonizer, I'll say, go look at the word concordance. A lot of people haven't heard that word. And I say, go look at that word. It's going to awaken something in you. Go look at the definition of that word and hang out with it. And that can actually be the case for many of those soul skills. So, for example, the utilization of destruction as a tool. Well, that's certainly going to excite the soldier warrior, right? The commander. Being able to maintain a greater vision and orchestrate the coming together of energies that don't seem like they can, those kinds of descriptions are going to turn something on. And that's what we want to feel in the body through the heart and gut. So play around with that a little. And I think that'll be useful to you. And so then we have another question here from Suzanne. She says, what If we have soul skills in many of these areas and over the years have studied and become skilled in many of them, others to reach out to, yet just keep moving to the next level of ascension. And then many of these don't either seem true or more like a development step than the ultimate soul purpose of why I came here. Now, I assist many people behind the scenes with their teaching and use many of my skills this way. Yet I'm not feeling I'm contributing much or doing what I came here to do. I have never felt that I have embodied the various skills and studies to bring something of my own to the planet to contribute. I love that being part of a team and participating in a lot of groups and areas of ascension, since I understand and care about it so much and I understand it all. I assist Lauren at Acoustic Health, and I have known you for over a year, but this was my first opportunity to be with you in this format, although I've wanted to be part of everything you've done, including your packages. I'd be glad to come on by the web call to speak on the call if you like. I'm listening from this format to be ready. Yes, you're absolutely welcome to speak with me, Suzanne. I think I do have an interesting answer for you. And you mentioned also that you've enjoyed the discussion. And Suzanne says, I feel the same way she does. I'm always wanting to embody all skill sets and to move into a higher consciousness and advanced level. Then I feel I'll be able to get out of my way to be whatever I can for others, to meet them in a place where I can be the love that helps them to be fully who they came here to be. I feel that this might be my ultimate role, but I'm not sure how I can possibly do this in my current life or circumstances. So, Suzanne, I would love to speak with you live, and I'm going to unmute you. Can you hear me, Suzanne?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, awesome.
Great.
So, really glad to speak with you, and so glad you came to join us today.
I am,
thank you.
Very grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So, I want to point something out, Suzanne. You're being pulled into not necessarily identifying exactly what skill sets you have, but you're being pulled into the front lines. And you've done a lot of behind-the-scenes work for a long time, right? So there is this new wave of people who've been around doing lots of stuff for a really long time, and they are now getting pulled to the front lines to replace some of the people who have been on the front lines for a long time, because there's basically the next level of embodiment going on by the Earth. So she's called out all of these folks, men and women across the board of all ages, to come step up. And what's happening to them is exactly what's happened to you, where you're saying, well, I know 101 things, and I'm good at a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Yet now, you know, I really have this deep desire to do something of my own, to put it out there and to get out there to bring something special to the world. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Well, then we have fear that comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And am I good enough? Like, gosh, I've been working with all these great people for so long. Am I up to par? All of those questions come up. And that fear is actually a clue. First, there's the desire. And I always say the thread of destiny has two sides. There's the desire, and then there's fear. If you're not experiencing fear, then it's probably not the right place for you. And here's why. Because fear in the heart space lets you know that this is a new experience that you haven't had before, perhaps ever, not even in other lifetimes. And certainly not in this one. But the physical heart, she maintains your perfect body memory. And so she's saying, Suzanne, we've done so much, and now we're being led with this deep desire that's beyond the body to bring something special to the world. And now we're afraid because we haven't done that yet. We're also afraid that if we don't do it, we'll regret it. And that's, of course, a double-edged sword, isn't it? We're trying to avoid regret. But that sort of leaks energy if you are thinking about avoiding regret as the main motivator, right? Instead, mm-hmm. tapping into that deeper reason to go forward, I think that you fit this energetic situation. You're being called to the front lines as a fresh new person, a fresh new face. And here's why it's so important. Because you've worked behind the scenes for someone like Loren, you've seen what people need and you see what people don't need. And it's the stuff that they don't need that's very important, because that is going to define a really excellent way for you to step into your power here. It's going to help you to be able to serve the group, the vulnerable group that you want to serve the most. So if I may ask you, Suzanne, does that resonate with you, what I'm saying?
Yes, it very much does. You gave me a different perspective on what I've been doing all these years as a part of all the programs and the shows with Loren, and supporting some other people through years of Ascension telewebinar activations and transmissions and so on, besides the people I follow separate from those people.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has given me that exact perspective and understanding that you just described, even though I never, as much as I go deep, you know, inside when I reflect upon all this, I cannot believe I did not see that yet. That hadn't come into my awareness, that it had given me that kind of understanding, that kind of readiness.
Oh, what a great gift, then. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
yeah, you'll be interested to know if you haven't already picked that up about me, is that earlier in my life, I was kind of in a lead position, a teacher, mm-hmm. a coach. And I was very successful at that in a very short period of time, but it was in an area that I didn't feel was the reason I came to this planet. I was unhappy, even though I could have gone on in that field and gone to a higher level with that.
Right.
And the place I was, because I knew that wasn't the right place for me. It wasn't supportive of my skills and abilities at that time.
Yeah.
And I chose to just leave it completely and not have any kind of support system in any way, come to kind of where I am right now and just start to study like healing and spiritual areas and so on, and do some inner personal healing. I had no idea it would be 20 years later that I would be still in that place logistically,
sure,
which is not supportive of me really doing much. But that time period has given me all this time to learn, build my skills, in various areas. And like I wrote in my little blurb to you, that it's so interesting that I would get really excited about a certain area, and then it was like after I'd study it and get really skilled in that area, I was like, oh, the universe was like, okay, next, time to move on
next.
To the next.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just kept going like that for all these years, until I decided that I would offer myself to assist a couple of people that I was already participating with, knowing that they probably didn't necessarily need that assistance, but that I would enjoy being there with them and they loved me and so on. It didn't really occur to me the universe had sort of a greater plan here, a greater preparation plan. So I thank you so much.
Pleasure. I think that your journey, it's deeply familiar. I mean, I used to assist for a big telesummit too.
Mm-hmm.
And before that I was Lucia Renee's assistant for ages and ages.
Mm-hmm.
And that assisting and then also finding people that you wanted to serve for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
that's actually really deep mysticism.
Yeah.
It is a very, very clever way for you to have set yourself up in a very knowledgeable field to absorb information, power, and energy from these particular people.
Yeah.
And that will unfold throughout your life. And with the consciousness about it, you'll be able to see how exactly you learned some subtler skills, right? Some sort of sub-skills. For example, the power voice. That's something I learned from Lucia. And how to use my voice as a place of power, a way to allow light to move through me and using the frequency literally that I'm creating with my body. And I learned by just watching her and listening to her. I never asked her any questions. In fact, later on, at one point I was visiting her and she kind of prodded me and she said, "Why do you call me your teacher? You've never asked me a single question, Elizabeth, in the whole decade I've known you." And I said, "I didn't have to. When you first hired me, you know, ages ago, when I was in my mid-20s, you basically told me that if I was clever, I would simply absorb everything I needed to know. And that if I needed to ask questions, that I would, but that I could absorb everything I needed to know from her by simply being conscious that I could do that." Mm-hmm. And she started laughing and she said, "Wow, that's great. I'm very glad to hear that." And then I was finally, you know, validated in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it was true. Absorbing from her was actually more important than, say, asking her questions. The fact that she was available to ask questions was a huge privilege, but that was a very key sort of sub-skill, right? So absorbing power and energy and light by being around people who emanate it, and then, of course, setting yourself up to be able to pay very close attention to the skills that someone has developed and absorb how to do that. And I can name off lots of different things that I absorbed from being around Lucia and other people, including my teachers in college and lots of different sorts of teachers. But I think, Suzanne, really sit down and map this out for yourself, right? Because you've been navigating energy for all this time. You've been navigating energy and you've been in an incredible state of trust. And the navigation of this energy and the way that you've navigated it is going to give you a much more clear puzzle. It's going to help you to step back from your poster so you can actually see what the big picture is for yourself. You know, it's really hard for us, right, to see a poster if your face is right up against it. And so it gives you a chance to step back. So the timeline that I mentioned earlier, being able to write out the timeline and ask yourself, all right, so here's this period of time where I, for example, worked for Loren.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly did I notice energetically about her and her business and the way it was run? What did I notice strategically and systematically about how it's run and how it's evolved, right? Because her business has changed over the years. What did I notice about my role in there, in this container, right? Because Loren's field and her business is a container. And you stepped into it and you were absorbing from it. And so you're really going to want to pattern this. Like, what are the strategic and systematic things I noticed exactly? That might be the brain mind recognizing pros, cons, changes, systems, etc. And then coming into the heart mind, what did I feel happen energetically during those times? And what did I learn energetically from those times that I spent with Loren? And then in the gut, you know, what knowing, what divine knowing have you been able to attain? You know, did you, for example, learn about the power voice a little bit from Loren, right? Because, you know, when she speaks to us candidly as friends, that's one thing. And then she gets on the show, she has a totally different voice.
That's right.
That's the power voice.
Mm-hmm.
And whether she realizes she's doing it or not, she's a mystic at it. She's really good at it. In fact, that's why I love her interviews, because she's so good at interviews and that power voice. And she's good at compiling whatever I've literally just said into something much, much simpler and easier for people to feel and hear. And she's excellent at that. And then, you know, systematically go through all these situations, Suzanne, because then you're going to see all the puzzle pieces come together and the clear vision of who you are and what you're here to bring forth now, this year. This is the year for all of these new, fresh folks who've been around for ages to step up to the next position on the front lines of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's calling you, it's pulling you, and that's a sign, and it's actually a sign of some, you know, what's calling you into formlessness, what's calling you into the next party. That's one of them, that you're going to feel the pull, and you'll feel the pressure. Hey, it's time for you to come do, or to do what you came here to do, and then, of course, dropping in to answer that with your full body, not just your mind. And then you'll be served greatly by seeing all of this on paper or typing it out and then adding to it, you know, meditate on it for a while, like a week or two. Let it really come out. And it's going to be amazing what you will see. And also an incredible boost for your empowerment, a boost for your validation. Source wants to give you that, and Source does, if we're willing to look at it carefully. Does this feel right to you?
Yes, it very much does, and I did want to share with you that I did start to cry at first when you spoke at the beginning, because yesterday I actually did have a sign of exactly what you're talking about. We had a program with Acoustic Health at the same time I had another program assisting someone else, and we were doing something, a telewebinar called Deepening into Service. And you know, both were very important. They were at the exact same time, which is very unusual. And as it got closer, the one person I was assisting with the Deepening into Service program, Loren and I had talked behind the scenes like a few months ago when we were hosting this very person on Acoustic Health. And we talked about how we had some suggestions of ways she could do things differently. And in that process of me passing that along to her, I said, "Dear, I have another suggestion. Maybe I should come on at the end of the webinars and have a discussion with you about, give you feedback, and sort of like the way Loren does on her, on her programs, being that I've been a part of that for so long." And you know, of course, she took me up on it this time after me testing it months ago. And yesterday I did go on at the end of the, you know, transmission and activation event, and we had like a 15-20 minute discussion to, you know, not only to let me give feedback, but to let me get a chance to, well, in my opinion, it was for me to have a chance to prompt her to speak about things that would help other people, you know, answer some questions that maybe they would have asked if they could have come on at the end.
Right.
And it was kind of spur of the moment where she asked me to do it the day before. And I thought, oh God, am I ready to do this? And I was a little bummed out. I was going to sort of miss the other event, but I realized this was my chance to, you know, do something that was really important for me, to take that step and feel comfortable and confident that I could do this.
Yes.
And it went pretty well. Afterwards I did doubt whether I asked the questions that I felt were most helpful to everyone else, or, you know, I had brought something about myself in there or something that I rather hadn't said. But I did feel pretty good about using that power voice that Loren has taught me so well.
Yes.
just by absorbing and listening. And so I had that opportunity, and I kind of, after the fact, I felt, you know, good about some aspects of it, and some of it I thought, well, there's some improvement here. But I was amazed that she asked me to do it and that I actually was comfortable. I wasn't on video. I was only on audio.
Yes.
So that was a good start.
Yes.
And it was, yeah. And so I'm already starting to feel that what you're saying, but for you to say that to me today, really, wow, that really, I just thought it was maybe this is a one-time chance. I'll just, you know, opportunity. I'll do this with her and I'm not sure where this is going, but I see what you mean about, you know, coming forward now, because I'm actually feeling a little scared, a little nervous. I'm feeling fear. And I'm also feeling or hearing a voice or a part of me saying, you're not ready. You know, you're not ready for this. And I know what that, I understand what's happening, but I'm still feeling it.
Okay. I got you covered. All
yeah.
right. So anyone on the call here who's getting the you're not ready, you're not good enough program running,
mm-hmm.
let's do it together. Let's, I'm going to show you how to erase this. It's certainly not going to happen in an instant, but if you're consistently using this particular way of erasing programs, Suzanne, then you're going to get rid of that thing, get it out of your way in no time.
Mm-hmm.
But every time it pops up, you got to do the same exact thing. So just do it in your mind with me, everyone, together. Find that program. You're not good enough. You are not supposed to be doing this yet. You're not ready. That's not true, right? So we're going to bow to it. We bow to the program. Thank you so much for trying to help me. I require you to shut down now. I am the soul in charge. I have a different plan. My plan is to fully surrender to all the opportunities and experiences that are coming my way. And now take a deep breath. And so if we're consistent about it, you can almost feel your brain start to rewire, literally. You find it, you pick it up. Oh, there's that negative little voice. It's just a program. Your brain's been trying to help you survive in a very sick system. So it's got some virus-y programs that really are only meant to work in the matrix, right? And so this program then, we single it out, we bow to it, that neutralizes it. It's like ones and zeros. Ones are reactions, right? Zero would be a neutral approach to a program, and gratitude is highly neutral. So we say, thank you so much. I require you to shut down now. So then we erase. I am the soul in charge. We separate ourselves again from the program. I'm the soul in charge of this brain. And the brain wants to serve you. You're the one who's animating the body. And then we say, I have a different plan. And then we reprogram it. And so the different plan, it can be really simple to be happy or to just surrender to opportunities or be open to the next step, whatever that feels good for you in the moment. And yes, it can change. You don't have to have the exact same reprogram every time. In the moment, if it's simply, I just want to be happy right now, stop bothering me with this whole I'm not good enough thing. Then we take a deep breath. That tells the vagus nerve that this is okay. And then the brain starts to get to work to rewire synapses. Within a week or so, at the most, you won't hear that program run anymore. So a total approach, this body is a machine. You have the ability to completely be in full charge of what your brain is doing. And that's a great thing for you to play with, I think, Suzanne, a fun tool that will be helpful to you.
Yes, thank you. I already feel a calming down of that ego program or that voice. And I will use practice that skill.
Sure. Yeah. And just to be clear, you know, there's lots of programs. Some of them are really positive programs that we want to keep.
Right.
And some of them aren't so positive. And we're just weeding out what's not working for us and replacing them with all positive programs. And mm-hmm. so the programs themselves are not necessarily ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply just the way the brain has learned to help you survive in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
so if we're going to survive in the field of natural law, right, then we need happy natural law programs.
Yes. know, I wonder, you know, I'd love to hear your perspective and how you feel about this, but how is it that sometimes earlier in our life, we don't doubt ourselves, you know, the opportunities present, we move right into that, we feel really confident. And then when we, you know, say leave that, in my case, you know, I was a college coach,
yeah.
Leave an area where I felt really confident in because I was, you know, very good at that. And even when at a young age, I was asked by other coaches to coach, I didn't even feel any fear or hesitation to, you know, work on a spring break and coach at a camp or clinic and so on. Felt so
yeah.
good about that. But then when I came into the areas of studying healing and the ascension areas and so on, and as I moved through this over the years, it's interesting that my confidence didn't continue with me.
Yeah, it didn't follow you.
In this area, it didn't follow me. Yeah.
Well, when I'm looking at it energetically, as you're talking about that, what I notice is actually that there are some past lifetimes where you had gotten involved with spiritual work and bad stuff happened to you. And so there's sort of like these energetic overlays that are showing up when I'm looking at that for you. And I think that's important. Delve into it a little bit. You know, the soul will happily share with you its memories as you open into receiving that information. But I think that in this lifetime, there was all the wonderful, it was almost like it was all perfectly set up for you to be confident in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the biggest challenge of surrender to leave that realm into a realm that you were not confident in, and you did it. And that's willingness. That's surrender. That's an important thing you had to experience where you weren't sure what was going to be on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it anyway, Suzanne. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So be aware, too, that there might be some past life overlays for you to examine that
mm-hmm.
come in where, hey, you went into the spiritual realm before and you trusted before and things
mm-hmm.
happened to you that weren't pleasant. And then
yeah.
you came in with a bit of fear and a bit of not feeling totally sure about the
mm-hmm.
spiritual realm as you got deeper into it. And I think that's mainly why, not necessarily that you've had all these bad experiences in this lifetime, but that they were old. Does that
yeah.
feel right to you?
Yes, it does. And, you know, of course, one of the areas I'm trained in is past life healing,
mm-hmm.
which I never really put to use that much with other people. But I did explore, you know, the use of that with my own past lifetimes. And
yeah.
I do see that. It's not that I haven't had, you know, I've had negative experiences in this lifetime showing me that I'm not going to be very good in this area. It's that, you're right, I feel there are some past lives that, did not go very well for me.
Absolutely. So I think to use this concept of, hey, trouble, issues, failures, mm-hmm. obstacles are always our very best teachers.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of meditation chats with the lifetimes where things didn't go so well in the spiritual
mm-hmm.
realm and ask them what was their biggest lesson that they learned.
Mm-hmm.
And then embody that. And you'll feel a lot more power come through.
Okay. I'll
so there's there's a reason why the overlays are still there, because you
mm-hmm.
want to embody the lessons they learned after
mm-hmm.
the trouble they saw. Good.
Well,
I think that'll be really helpful and get you into this new party where you can access everything. And that'll help a lot. Good.
Thank you so much.
It's been really great to speak with you. Thank you, Suzanne. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. This has been so helpful to me, and I'm so appreciative and grateful. And I hope to do more with you. So,
yes, me
too.
Thank you so much. Okay. If anyone else would like to talk with us, here we have Nikki. Hi, Nikki. Glad that you're here. Can you hear me, Nikki? You might need to unmute yourself on the other side, because I've unmuted you here on my end.
Hi, I had actually put my hand down, but since you...
That's okay. Do you have anything on your mind? Or you could say no, and then...
At some point in the presentation about younger teachers, and I was just chuckling to myself, right? Because
I was thinking like my kids, but yes, I am younger, you're right. Based on the previous two calls
that just came through, and myself, that you have a lot of us who have been around for a while.
Mm-hmm. A huge honor.
And
I'm always a little bit surprised.
I was really moved by both of those calls because hearing how much the women of my generation have, you know, done so many of these. I mean, when I look through that list, I realize that some of those skill sets I had as a child, and moving into adolescence, then they changed again, and then moving into my professional life, they changed again, and then moving into motherhood and, you know, partnership, then they changed again. And now as an elder, I realize that I go through that list and there's few of those that I don't feel like I've embodied at some point in this lifetime.
Yeah. What an amazing lifetime. Do you feel
and
that
I just wanted to
held
say
back
that
at all?
The reason I put my hand down was because I feel like the next part of this workshop is going to be addressing that as sort of an epiphany where none of that matters, and those roles all, and I would say, you know, kind of shamanically, just transform into the souls that we are connected to Source, and how we integrate all of them is what we're learning to accept. And that part about not being ready also becomes, absurd, even though the programs still exist. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say, is that I've been really moved by both your callers, and it seems like, you know, it's I resonate with it completely.
Yes, Dakey and Suzanne, very powerful souls who were able to bring for us today. Yes, thank you. And Nikki, I want to point out something too that I've noticed about this generation of women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your specific generation of women. I call it this sort of bungee cord, glass ceiling, boxed in effect that's happened to that generation. And not so much like the 80-year-olds that I talk to, which I'm always amazed and honored that they want to talk to me. But it's specifically like late 60s back to about early 50s, this particular 20-year or so generation. And which is actually, I have to say, the bulk of my clientele. Most of the people who come to talk with me or learn from me in any capacity are women of that age group. And they are so hungry to fast track, right, into enlightenment. And it's because they've been held back for so long. And I want to share a personal story about this and why I realized that this was true. Because my own teacher's in her late 60s, and she called me up one day and she wanted me to take a look at something that had happened to her when she was a kid. And she said, you know, when I was a kid, this horse kicked me in the face, and it hurt my neck, and it hurt my eyes. and I've never had good, she had really, really bad eyesight, and then her neck's given her trouble ever since when she was a kid. So long years of suffering, 50 years of suffering. And she said, I want to know what agreement did I have with this horse to have this happen? And I'm looking at it and I said, Lucia, it wasn't that you had an agreement with the horse. I mean, maybe you did, but it was actually that you and all of your generation of women have been purposefully held back in consciousness for a certain period of time, and only now has the bungee cord released so that you can shoot forward. And even Lucia's been able to say on many of her teleconferences, hey, in the past 2 years, I've shot forward in consciousness more than the past 50 years combined.
Mm.
And there's a huge reason for that. And it's, and at first it's like, why would Source hold all of these women back? And it actually is twofold reason. First off, because if all of you had been allowed to shoot forward as fast as you wanted to go when you came in, then you would have either been so frustrated with how slow the rest of the world's been going that you would have either been banished or you would have been, or you would have checked out early.
Right.
And because you were held back and yet still maintained this incredible desire to shoot forward, then this particular generation of women has been able to glean incredible insights, experiences, opportunities for their growth from an incredible variety of people. And, you know, I was only born in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that we get to talk today is mm-hmm. because all of that generation of women was willing to put up with that bungee cord effect for so long, and they didn't end up checking out and they didn't end up getting banished. And they've been able to maintain this slow, steady sort of holding the line for all of us in consciousness. And now here we are, where anyone who's come in since then, who's awakened and aware and conscious, that we get to hold the line together with you now. And so everyone, all the bungee cords are gone. Now we're at the edge of consciousness here. We're pushing forward together, and it's wonderful. And the whole planet's going to be better for it. And yes, we still have a long way to go before we reach the golden age. It's true. There's a very long, hard road of rebuilding. But with all of your knowledge and wisdom that you've gleaned throughout the years, we would never be at this point without you. So we desperately need that particular generation of women and men who've been held back. And it was especially women who've been held back energetically, and all of that's over now. But mm-hmm. I just want to point this out as like a bigger picture piece here, that, you know, and say thank you for holding on, because without you I wouldn't be allowed to speak about these concepts in this way or be appreciated for any of the work I've done at all. And I deeply recognize that without you I wouldn't be here, that this was your generous gift to me, whether you knew that or not, but it was a gift to me that generation was willing to trudge through while having a bungee cord tied around them, holding them back at every turn. Incredible amount of work and strength that had to go into that. So I just want to bow to everyone for that work that you've done, that it's made sure that we can get to this really important point in time. So thank you, Nikki.
You know, Elizabeth, the story about the Black Panther.
Yeah. Mr. Spirit, right?
Yeah. So that's
that is so much a metaphor for our lives, because I spent my life gnarling and not allowing anyone to come near, because it was just not being respected that was so horrible and painful. And seeing that animal and watching that, you're like that whisperer for us. And I just wanted to point that out.
Absolutely. So for those of you that don't know the story of Spirit, you can actually find that video about him on a Breitenbach, this really excellent animal communicator, top of, you know, world class, was brought into this emergency situation at a large cat reserve in South Africa. And the people who ran the reserve, they were at their wits' end with this black panther that they called Diablo. And this guy wouldn't let anybody come near him. He was vicious, and he hated everybody, it seemed. And so they brought in Anna Breitenbach because they had, you know, it's sort of like why people come to me, because last resort. So they brought her in, and they didn't believe that she could do anything like that, to talk to animals. But they, you know, they were given this chance to bring her in, so they did. And so here's these, you know, eco-scientists who've brought in this world-class psychic, basically. And they're really doubting that she's going to be able to help. She sits down in front of the cage, and Diablo comes up, sits down, and begins to just sit very calmly staring into her eyes. And that, of course, floored them, because they'd never seen him do that before. And so she has this really beautiful, deep interaction with this being, and she then begins to speak, and she says, first off, his name is not Diablo. His name is Spirit. And he simply wants you to appreciate and love him for the magnificent being he is. And she starts to describe to them what this beautiful being really wanted from them, that he was not receiving. And the change in name was highly important, because Diablo means demon or devil, and he was not that. He's a beautiful spirit. And then, in order to simply, I think, get information, Spirit asked Anna to ask the reserve ecologists what had happened to the two leopard cubs that he was caged near in the last place he was at. Now, the only people who knew about that were the reserve owners, or the reserve ecologists. There was no way that Anna could have known that. It was a very specific situation, and he wanted to know what had happened to them. He was concerned about them. And this completely blew them out of the water, and was proof that what Anna was channeling through from this being was true, and completely brought them to tears. They were so amazed. And so Spirit went on to describe exactly how he needed to be approached. He needed to be approached as a magnificent soul, not a scary Black Panther. And when they started to do that, everything changed. He completely changed. They didn't have to do any special behavioral training or anything like that. They had to change their way of approaching him. And to be recognized as a soul is what we're all here to do, to be fully recognized for who we are as a soul and loved and appreciated for it. And that's so simple, yet very profound, because this is the unifying mindset change, right, that's going to have to happen for all of humanity. We must be able to see each other as souls first. And honestly, if there's anything we can get out of this entire discussion, that to me seems like the most important, that we need to see each other as souls first and bow to that and recognize that and be open to the fact that we're all one. We're all these beautiful rays of light coming from the same sun. No matter who that person is, it doesn't matter. They are all souls just like us coming from the same place. And this is the high heart of unconditional love, which is exactly what I'm going to be getting into in a moment here. So thank you, Nikki. Very glad
thank
to
you.
Tell that story. And you can
bless
find
you.
That video on YouTube. Look up Spirit, the Black Panther, and you'll find that amazing story. It's really wonderful and important. And he continues to give messages to people. Thank you, Nikki. I appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
And so, quickly before we go into this next portion, I want to also invite you to deepen this discussion with me on the Circle. And you can find out more about the Circle, which is a platform on Slack that we've been gathering, a sort of tribe of like-minded souls. Some of the folks that are on the call today are even there too. And I'd love you to come and join me. And we don't turn anyone away. It's $13 a month, and you can come join me there. But I think it's really an important place because no one is turned away. We're all there in order to support one another and love one another and share these journeys together as souls and to be recognized as a soul by a core group of people who get it, who actually understand these concepts, is really beautiful. So you can find out more about the Circle on my homepage website, Siren Scientist. If you like to go down, scroll down, you'll find the Circle there. And like I said, if that appeals to you, join us. And of course, even if you don't feel like you're able to afford that, that's okay. We have scholarships, and I really love to support everyone. And then, of course, I have a very extensive YouTube channel myself. So if you're on YouTube and you go find the story about Spirit and you'd like to listen to some of the other things I've been doing, lots of different interviews I've done, different concepts laid out more deeply on my YouTube channel as well. And you can find me there as Seer and Scientist. Good. So just had to make sure to let you know that before we get into this deeper piece here. And I hope that we'll get to continue this conversation on the Circle. So we had a couple of really fascinating tidbits come through. And the Jessica's saying, do we resonate with people because they have the same skill sets? No, but whenever I've met someone else who's a really excellent seer, there's always this moment where we can see that each other can see that we can see. And it's really, really fun to meet other people who have the same skill set. But we resonate with people because of the frequency they're at, right? And that's what the word resonate means. So when you find someone who's thinking and feeling at the same level you're at, it can be a really profound, beautiful moment. And even if they're not exactly at the same level, you're always going to be able to find some attributes in everyone you meet that can really resonate with you. And so, you know, I always say that Source is going to have the right people come into my field who are going to be able to be served best by me and perhaps also the other way around. And so if we're open to that, we can really discover some interesting lessons, no matter who that might be. So not necessarily that you have the same skill sets, though that can be really fun when that happens. Celine says, thank you, Suzanne. You bring a wonderful grounding presence that's helping me. Your questions are so aligning and illuminating. And she mentioned that she liked the process we did with Suzanne. I'm so glad. And then, And also, Celine wanted to thank Dakey for her contribution today as well, and I'm sure Nikki too. And Jessica's asking if I could consider doing a deprogramming webinar. Yes. Okay, added it to my miracle list, as my friend calls it, because it's a miracle if I get it all done, right? So yes, I like that idea. Thank you. And Dickey says, Nikki, I was just naming that very point in my notes, not just past lives, but past and ongoing past events in this life. It's all happening now simultaneously again. But now we are truly doing what's not been done before with a planetary scope. We've always been honing the energy of what is required to step forward with trust that the ground will meet our motion forward. And I'm so, so glad to hear that. Absolutely. Perfectly well said. And Gigi said that what you're saying goes so deep. I wonder how many women of this age on this call are also crying. And in my tears about being, when I was speaking about being held back, in the tears I feel hope. Oh, me too. And it's so important to be acknowledged, right? And certainly my generation, thankfully, we came in with a lot of reverence, and we're the very last generation who did not have the internet as children. And so the generations after me, they've all had access to the internet. And so that's key. My interest in history and being reverent to the different groups of people here on this planet, young and old, I believe come from the people who are in their 30s. That is really special, and that's something that my generation can carry forward, but I can't do any of that without all of you and what you've done for this world. You made it a safe place for me to be able to come in and do this work, and I think about that every day. And so it's always my incredible amazement that I get to do that every single day. And so Suzanne also is thanking Nikki. Thank you, Nikki, for sharing and prompting Elizabeth into what she's expressing with you. And wow, I know the story about Spirit, the Black Panther. It came through Facebook years ago. Being that animal communication is another area of my study. So many stories like this inspire me deeply. I love the powerful message he taught and how you told it today, supporting much of what the heart of all of what we are is needing to hear. Absolutely. You never know what's going to come up in these classes, and certainly it's really special, beautiful work and a place that we can share and be supported and be healed. All right, so let's get into this last section, which is incredibly mind-blowing to me. And when I was looking at this, I really had to make sure I really wanted to teach this. Because I'm not completely done with it myself, of course, but if you've heard me talk about mastery, one thing I learned early on is that to teach is to master. So although I'm never complete in all my learning, whenever I learn something new, I immediately go in to teach it and share it, because sharing and teaching allows me to embody it even more. And what I'm going to be talking about here is really intense, because I'm asking you to become formless. And there is an undertow. There's an undertow on the planet right now. And the question is, can we ask all soul skill sets and serve the world? Yes. But to work towards that, to be able to do that, we need to join this very deep energy of formlessness. The planet, she's becoming more formless. She's embodying many dimensions. She's embodied now the 7th, 8th, and 9th dimension, which weren't actually supposed to be embodied for another 1,000 years. So the Earth has picked a new timeline for us, one that's going to work for her and us. How generous. She's been able to say, my children, I want you to know that all the help you seek is within you. That's the great message she has, that through formlessness we access all the support of Source. And then we too begin to be able to serve as more pure vessels of that light. And so how exactly to create formlessness in your life is what I would call the equations of enlightenment. And there are very specific processes to shift density and egoic structure out of your embodiment. That was taught fully in my earlier class from last month. But I want to share with you another piece, a big finalizing piece that will get you into that formless state faster. And so it's time to fast track now. First, we need to understand, you know, what does formlessness look like exactly? We can't go somewhere unless we know what it looks like. And thankfully, that's a gift I have, is to see where we're going and be able to describe it. And so, obviously, formlessness first looks like the end of egoic structure, like judgment, attachments, resistance, and expectations. But it's also the end of identity. And we've begun already talking about this by saying we are souls first. So we are shifting out of the human-created identity, and we're starting to act from a more formless state already in our discussions, naturally leading us to saying, I want to stand from the soul perspective first. Now, the next step from that, of course, will be eventually to get to know your soul and its skills, and then to step back from that even farther. In fact, we back into Source as we become formless. I always used to think that we were going to move forward into formlessness, and that's not at all what's happened. It's the other way around. You've always come from Source, and you're going to back into Source again. And it's sort of like finding your original playing point, right? When you entered the game board, there is that original square, right, that you entered in to consciousness. And we're finding our way back. The game actually takes us on this fascinating road all the way out there and then right back to the beginning again. And through that fascinating road, the Source field has been able to learn directly through our experiences and answer its most pressing question of this universe: what is love? Now then, once you've started to shift into recognizing yourself as a soul, and then you're ready to step into, backing into, instead of stepping in, but backing into becoming Source again, well, then the next step comes up, and that's to hold all shadow and light as one, in unattached, unconditional love from the high heart. This is the new energy that's available, and it's new. It's within the past month or so. I knew I needed to teach this class because Source told me I needed to teach it, but I had no idea what I was going to teach until like a week ago. So I knew I wanted to talk about all the soul skill sets and how to use them and identify them, how to be coming from the soul witness. But this new energy is mind-blowing, and it's very specific. And for me, for those of you who like to see energy, it looks like this beautiful deep blue color, very high dimensional color. It was ninth dimensional energy, Christ consciousness, merciful energy that met us, greeted us at the beginning of the year last year. And now we have this high heart energy. Now that term isn't terribly common, but from the direct heart, we feel a lot. We can feel mercy. We can feel love. From the high heart, it's not that you feel so much as you embody, as you maintain. And it is a state of unattachment. And I don't use the term detachment here. Detachment is an activity that happens because of an event. Unattachment is a state of mind. And this particular energy is coming to greet us, to pull us faster. It is the undertow of formlessness. Formlessness is the ground now. It's not a mindset. It is what we are beginning to literally stand on. The earth is attaining formlessness. And the structures of this planet will not be able to continue because of this particular undertow. It's so gentle yet so deep and powerful. So while we're literally standing in formlessness, we are asked to look at the globe in a unified manner, to look at humankind and all of the history and all of the pain and the darkness and the shadow and all of the light, and hold it as one thing, in complete neutral, unconditional love. It's not a feeling love. It's a state of being. Can we really look deep, deep into the shadow of humankind, of suffering and bondage, and look at it with total neutrality and include it in our unconditional love? That's the next challenge for formlessness for each of us. This is the edge of consciousness. And yes, we will keep pushing this edge. And I can't say what the next step is, but I know that this is the current place we are at. And so as you continue to work with this, I'm basically holding this energy for you because there's very little I can do to describe it so much as hold it for you, which is not my normal way of functioning, right? Because I'm a seer. All I can do at this time is maintain it in my embodiment and share it with you through my voice. But to continue to point it out that you will see this more and more, and it's very key because the true history of humankind is going to be disclosed this year, I believe. Many of the structures we're used to, they're all falling apart. And this can be really scary, especially when you've been so deeply tied to those structures for so long. But this is the access that we need. The access point is that neutral state of unconditional high heart love. This is a universal doorway for all humankind to be able to access all skill sets. And it's not at all what I could have ever imagined would have been the door to access the whole library. But there it is. That's the door to the next party. And so what does this look like exactly in your life? I'm going to describe to you what I've been assessing from others and myself. And so see if these events resonate with you. The first one is contact. Making contact with different guides that you've not contacted before. And also, at the same time, finding that many of your guides seem to disappear or go inside of you instead. Like what's happened to me, my angels, my seven beloved friends, who have always been outside my body, very separate from me, that I could see them and speak to them my whole life. Now, I've embodied that dimension, the angelic realms, and my angels are no longer outside me anymore. I don't see them anymore. They're inside me. And at the same time, I made contact with a whole bunch of new beings that I hadn't had access to before. Eighth dimensional beings. And now I'm actually having conversations with these amazing beings. So brilliant and wonderful, and I've learned a lot already. Being able to find that your guidance is starting to come in from the inside instead of the outside, and then making contact with new guides, is a sign that you're on this path of formlessness embodying these dimensions. Now, this might be happening to you whether you're doing a whole bunch of enlightenment work or not, which can be really confusing. But if you'd like to fast track it, make sure that you look at that Equations for Enlightenment, because those specific steps will continue to help you get where you want to go in formlessness. And then the other things I've noted and have been hearing reported is physical changes. So for me, coming into oneness, I could begin to feel my own cells, really strange sort of physical experiences that are unusual, that I've never had happen to me before, or feeling like the boundaries are blurred between me and everything else, and having a hard time, say, with boundaries at all, trying to suss out, you know, this way of thinking that I'm so used to. There's me, there's my cat, there's my chair. These are different things. And I don't feel that anymore when I'm looking at my cat or my chair. Now I can't feel the difference anymore. There's no energetic separation anymore. And that's a physical experience that's, although a little hard to describe, the best way I can describe it is saying all the lines are blurred. All the lines are blurred, and now I can sense and feel everything all at once, which I was never able to do before. So that, for others, however, has looked a little different. While they've been able to feel all that, now they're having actual, like, psychic abilities coming online where they're becoming more psychic. So what I've been able to assess is that for us, other gifts, other energetic abilities that we naturally have, like all of us have a third eye, all of us have a heart space, all of us have a good, strong gut mind, that all of the abilities of the embodiment, they all start to more easily come online. So if someone struggled with being psychic, but they can feel really well, they might actually start to be more psychic. If someone's, like me, been really psychic, struggled to feel really well, now I'm feeling everything. And so you'll start to find that all these different physical abilities will get easier as you become more formless. And then expansiveness. There's this sense of expanding out to ways and directions and to places that seem so incredible. Being able to fully expand out to the edges of the galaxy and feel comfortable there, or out to the edges of the solar system, or even just simply out to the edge of the planet and embodying the collective, and just being able to feel comfortable in different expanded states, especially in meditation, zooming in and out of reality, feeling how everything at its core is made of this intelligent light, that expansiveness is another sign of continued push towards formlessness. Then there's this tricky one. Of course, new experiences with energy will start happening. Like, for example, one lovely client of mine mentioned that for the first time in her life, she could see energy. So while your new skills that were always there but seemed to be blocked because of density of some kind or trauma maybe, while they begin to come online, you'll start to have much more intense and amazing experiences that you didn't have before. And so I had this excited email from her. Oh, my gosh, I got to see energy for the first time. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift we'll be able to experience more interesting, amazing things like that along this way. But the tricky part is that all of your problems, all of your issues, all your baggage is going to blow up. It's going to multiply. So all my stuff, all the stuff I thought, I can get away with not dealing with that. Wow. It's gone up into my face just neck deep, you know, eyeball deep in this junk of my own that I have to address. Because in formlessness, you simply can't ignore even the smallest density. So these densities, like I said, that I thought maybe I could get away with, they've gotten so big at this point that I literally have to make a decision every day to address them really deeply, or else I'm, again, going to find myself eyeball deep in it, no matter how small it might seem. And so this is going to show up in your life. All of those issues will come crashing through and let you know, hey, we need to be fully addressed now so that you can reach the next level. And so this can put us into a spin. It can make us feel panicky when you're eyeball deep in your own stuff. And I just want to give you encouragement. It's not meant to make you suffer. It's actually the other way around. It's meant to help you to not suffer so that you can go in, fully address it at its root, and drain it out, shift it out, wipe it out, you know, scrape the bottom of that pot so that it sparkles, and then all the soup you make in that pot is always going to taste better from then on. It will serve you in the long run and create a lot less suffering for you, a lot less attachment, judgment, expectation, and resistance. And that's really going to come up for all of us, even more so than ever before. So then, of course, this work really affords you more access to skill sets. And it seems so small then, talking about it, that we would still want to have access to skill sets from that point of view. But this is important, to have access to the whole library. Because all that egoic structure keeps us separated, although that's an illusion, it does make it feel inaccessible. And it's sort of like Source works with formlessness in the way that it allows access simultaneously. So when you are working with formlessness as your goal, slowly but surely, you access more and more wings of the library. It's kind of like a VIP card, because then when you're in a state that resonates high enough, you get more and more access. And when I mean access, I mean that no longer is it going to be hard work for you to find the answers you need in the moment to either act or say what you need to say, teach what you need to teach, bring forth the projects and the precious info that you're here to bring forth to the earth, to do what you came here to do. It won't be so hard. It will make it much easier because, for example, although I'm not technically a soul skill set of a communicator, I have gotten better at communicating the more formless I am. This allows me then to access the ability to teach, the ability to be a good storyteller, all of these skill sets that I didn't necessarily have access to before. It's not so hard then to get these things done that you want to get done in the world. It makes it so much easier. That's the other side of the coin. All that hard work, to be more one with Source affords you then precious gifts that will support you. And this is wonderful. So how do you know you've accessed other parts of the library of skills then? Well, we mentioned the thread of destiny, desire and fear. You're going to get pulled into desiring to do something. Like Suzanne, she desires deeply to put something special out. That's from her, to do what she came to do. And she's afraid. And that's perfect. That fear and that desire combo, wonderful, exactly what you want to follow. And that thread will become more and more obvious. I have this incredible desire to teach this particular series of classes, so much so that it just came blowing through me, and I just got out of the way, and I was afraid. I've been afraid to teach the things I'm going to be teaching this year for a very long time. Over a decade, I've been afraid to do it because I was told a long time ago that if I taught people this, that I might get hunted down, literally. Crazy fear, right? Good. Now I have such an incredible desire to match that fear. And so it really helps a lot to have that incredible desire. Yes, I'm still afraid, but I know that that's a clue that I am reaching higher states of formlessness. And then, of course, imagination. What can you imagine into existence? Well, as you reach higher states of formlessness, you're going to be able to imagine doing more than you ever could before. And that's really precious because imagination is the gateway to what Source has already created. None of us can imagine anything new. Source has already imagined it. And now, with your imagination, it will get more vivid, more huge, more interesting, because you're getting out of the way and able to access this library of creation. And in that library of creation are all the possibilities. And to be able to know that that's what Source has available, and to access it, that's more formlessness. So the more you can imagine, can you imagine embodying the angelic realms? Can you imagine that big, huge possibility that you want to bring through? And if not, can you get out of the way and let Source show you through your imagination? Can you open that door and be willing to look at what is available and be willing to allow it to move through in the 3D. The other things that you'll find are that your dreams will get really interesting if you happen to remember your dreams. Not everyone does, and that's okay. But if you're not getting dreams, then you may get visions while you're awake. And that's certainly tied in with imagination. But dreams and visions come without you soliciting them. Imagination is you actively soliciting that information. And so dreams and visions will begin to come through that will help you to see the bigger picture, the visionary path of formlessness and where it's going to take us. So, for example, I had this vision of all this light and where we're going and what it was made of, and I was able to assess it with other friends, and then it was clear that this is absolutely the next step for humanity to attain formlessness, is to attain access to all of this info, to all these skill sets. And then there's that feeling of being pulled or pushed into something new. So I mentioned that earlier, especially with Suzanne, looking at the fact that a lot of people are going to get pulled and pushed into something new, into the front lines, or into another level of mastery around their skills. A lot of healers, for example, coming on sessions with me saying, what's the next step? I've been a massage therapist for 50 years. Now what? Because I can't do it anymore. What's the next step for me? I'm really drawn into looking at this now, and I haven't ever been drawn into that before. Why? Why am I being drawn into that? Why am I suddenly getting pushed to the front lines exactly? And being able to recognize that, that's a sign of continued work towards formlessness. Just feeling it, being willing. And, for example, when I was basically straight up told by Source, it's time for you to pull out all your stuff from your closet so you can teach it, I absolutely saw a vision of it and recognized it to be true, that it's time now. And, you know, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for a long time, and I figured I would know when the time was right. And by golly, because we're at the edge of this formlessness energy, it's the perfect time to start talking about how to create change. And that's what I'm good at. And then, of course, you're going to consistently feel the energy and the power build up. And it's going to continue to build up. Every time I think that it's built up to some kind of peak point, then I'm totally shot out of the water and get to see, we're not even halfway there. Like, wow. Okay, you're just going to continue to feel it build up and build up and build up. There's a lot of pressure, right, going on the planet, and it's consciousness under pressure. Under pressure to dissolve even more. We are not dissolved yet, and we are like really solid potatoes, and we're getting mashed up in the pressure cooker, and we need to literally become incredibly formless. And mashed potatoes isn't even formless enough. We got to become steam. That's where we're heading. So now let me give you some cool ways that you can basically work towards formlessness, some actual things that you can be doing besides hoping that it will happen, and also besides the different techniques that I mentioned in Equations for Enlightenment. So, for example, go ahead and write that timeline out. Make that list of things that have occurred throughout your life, and then break it down into an actual physical list of what identifies you and how others identify you. So for me, I included everything. I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a lover, I'm a wife, I am a pet owner of goats, cats, horses, chickens, dogs, you know, really specific. Get down into it. If you have like multiple pets, then name them. I am a pet owner of cats. That is literally an identity. And then, you know, really get down into it. And not just things you've earned, not just certifications, and, you know, not just job titles. Include all of that, but break it down. You know, I've been an employee. I've been an assistant. Break it down as far as you can. Get that list nice and complete. Base it off of your timeline that you'll write out. This can take a while. It took me like a week to realize that I had this incredible, dense identity and that it wasn't just that I'm a seer and a warrior and a healer. No, it's much more complicated than that. This human life and all of that that comes with it. And then add in all the other identities that you can remember or that you have access to, like maybe you're a fairy spirit or an elemental, or maybe you had a Syrian lifetime. And so for me, to include some of my soul identities that I've had before, you know, really big, huge, wild titles from, you know, way back, and include those, include whatever comes through around that. Sorry, my cat's on my piano. Okay, and then you're going to create something out of this. You're going to either do it through writing, make it beautiful looking, create this piece of art, either with your calligraphy or with pictures, or cut out stuff, scrapbook. You want to create sort of like a board or a page that has all these aspects of your identity. And why do you want to get creative with it? Well, when you're creative with these attributes of your identity, then you begin to separate yourself from it. You begin to put it into the 3D in a format that is in front of you. And so there's going to be more than just words on a page that somehow describe you. It's not that we want to, you know, create a resume of our identity and let that be it. No, you need to put a little more effort into it. Create something special that basically represents you and all the things you are and all of the aspects of your identity. And spend your time on it. And this is going to be used in a special ritual, because you're going to, as you create this, you need to continue to be willing to let go of it. For example, I love being a mom, and adding pictures of my children to my creation, knowing that I'm saying goodbye to that identity, really heartbreaking. So I had to go in and do some processing around that. It was almost like I'm saying goodbye to this incredibly important part of myself that I didn't even realize I was so attached to until I had to say goodbye. And when you put that kind of creative, visual, physical effort into putting it together in the 3D, you're going to start to feel all the energy behind your attachments and your love for all these pieces of your identity. You know, I loved being an anthropologist. I loved that so much. I spent 10 years in college because I loved it so much. And it was a really big part of me that I had to say goodbye to. Does that mean that I stopped being an anthropologist? No. No, it doesn't. It means that the world might see me as an anthropologist, but I see myself as a formless soul who got to have the experience of being an anthropologist in this body. And there's no attachment or emotion there. Saying goodbye to it, however, was another deal. And now, of course, then I'm going to suggest that you systematically say goodbye to each part and spend some time on it. You can see that this is not going to take a day. It's going to take maybe months. this is worth your time, because then you can fully have access to everything that is going to support you and the entire library of skills. It's a wonderful gift that you can receive from this work. So I'm then going to suggest that you might actually burn this thing that you create, or put it in running water like a river and say goodbye to it. Literally, a ritual of goodbye. And why would we want to do that? Because doing rituals of transition in the 3D is a very, very important and vital part of being human. It is us manifesting. And I like to point out lately that manifest, mani, manu, means hands, actually creating in reality in the 3D. Manifestation is not something you can do only by visualization. You can only do manifestation with visualizing, believing, and then doing it in the 3D. And so with these physical creations and rituals, you're serving your higher soul and its effort in formlessness in a very physical way, allowing your body and your heart to better maintain that formless state. And so then, when you've said goodbye, it's worth doing a heart command. And I'll show you how to do this particular command. So you drop into your heart and you put your hand on your heart and you'd say, "Dear heart, please lift out of my whole body and field any attachments to any aspects of my identity, up, down, or out, now." And take a deep breath. And then we welcome formlessness. "Dear heart, please fill my whole body and field with the pure, clear light of formlessness, and allow any access to physical or spiritual skills and any soul skills in the library of creation to my whole body and field now." And then take another deep breath. And here's one of the hardest parts: to ask. Ask for access. Ask. People always forget to ask. I guess maybe it's cultural. I'm not really sure. Seems sort of across the board with cultures. People forget to ask. Source is a field of intelligent light that interfaces with your consciousness. You can ask Source for formlessness. You can ask Source to have access to all soul skill sets. Don't forget to ask. And if you have any resistance around it, go in and process it. Do some mental, emotional, physical processing. And make sure you keep trying. Keep asking. I ask every day. Don't stop asking. And then repeat. Repeat this ritual. Repeat it regularly. Every few months if you have to. Keep repeating it. This process, added in with self-assessment, processing, and meditation, can continue to aid you. And just like other things that are worthwhile doing a lot of repetition, like forgiveness, for example, it's going to continue to take layers and layers of identity out of your way so that you can continue to play in formlessness. And as you continue the repetition of this, you'll find at one point when you sit down and try to make that list that there's nothing to say. And that's when you know, okay, Now I'm just going to keep asking. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep assessing and processing and meditating. And you'll find all of the things that I described earlier will continue to happen, and that you'll continue to move forward. And so I am still in the middle of all of this. But with you, we can do it all together and be able to shift and utilize this huge undertow of power, of formlessness, to shift and create change on this planet and to do what we're called to do. So I'm very, very glad to be able to show you what I've learned and share it with you. And before we go, I want to make room for questions and commentary. Do you have any questions? Do you have any comments? So we have a couple of points here. And so we've got, Dakey says, we teach what we need to learn. Oh, yes. Always listen and pay attention to whatever's coming out of your mouth. That equals, that's helped through the decades before you came to us now. It's true. So speak freely. We're ready. And the perfection is that you're not quite complete. Leave space for our collaboration with you. Oh, yes. Collaboration is the name of my game. I am certainly a work in progress. And Suzanne's saying, yes, amazing that you're speaking to all of this today. Thank you for part two. For me, things are becoming fluid and the lines between everything blurred as our energy fields merge and overlap. And yes, the expanding of awareness is amazing as we move towards formlessness. Unfortunately, I'm deep in my issues now, and it's overwhelming for me as well. I'm suffering right now, even though I realize this is not the intention. Working through it with love. Thank you for your support now and compassion today. Absolutely. And she also mentions, when I heard you explain on our show that you had put this away in a closet, so to speak, because people warned you the planet wasn't ready, or if it would affect your life negatively, I knew it all had to be that I had to be with you at this webinar for so many reasons and do more with you now this year, even if I couldn't purchase the package in time to do all of it with you. I love all that you are sharing today. It touches me so deeply and is meaningful to me. I love that your kitty plays the piano. Yeah, he likes to do that when he wants something. That's an amazing soul skill set. I'm sure I'll tell Otto that you liked his piano playing. Nikki says, is it accurate in your vision to say that suffering is simply not the dissolving of egoic structure? Can you elaborate also on how fear would positively direct our choices, new directions, and creations? To inform how fear is our friend here, showing that the next step should scare us. Yeah, that's a good point. So fear is really key, and here's how to assess fear, the helpful type. When you feel fear in the heart, you're going to want to pay close attention to that. If you feel fear in the gut, that's a very different kind of fear. So there's several ways fear can help you. Fear in the gut is telling you to get out. It's not, you're not going to survive very well in whatever situation you're in. So if you feel fear in the gut, step back, get out, cut off ties, whatever you got to do, get out of there. Because that's the body, the gut, the bacteria in your gut trying to help you survive. That's intuition, right? But in the heart, very different. There's a different kind of fear there. Not the fear programs that run in your head. So you're constantly going to want to assess, are there fear programs that are running what I'm looking at right now? Like, am I just simply afraid that no one's going to want to hear me? Am I afraid that I'm not good enough? Is that just simply a program? pay attention to that. You'll often hear it like a little voice in your head repeating itself. You're not good enough. No one wants to listen to you, or whatever it is that's coming up. But fear in the heart is the useful fear that lets us know that we're on the edge of a new experience. And so I always point out to people, look, if you're moving ahead and you're doing something and you're not afraid, then you need to reassess. Because fear is a clue that you're on the right track. Fear in the heart is a clue that you're on the right track. I want to give an example that's not my own, but my little brother, he's just gotten accepted to medical school, and it's a really big deal for him. He's worked really hard for this, and he got accepted at some really prestigious schools, and he's really proud. At the same time, he's afraid. And, you know, when he said that, I said, well, excellent. He started laughing. What? Why would you say excellent to me being afraid? Oh, because that means you're right on track. It's so perfect. Because if you're not afraid as you climb the mountain, then you're not paying attention. As you get higher, the risk is deeper, isn't it? Right? Because if you fall and you're, you know, up on the middle of the mountain, that's no good. And as you get higher, that's even higher and farther to fall, isn't it? That's just sort of a good metaphor. But if you're paying attention, the road is narrow, man. The road is narrow. And the height is very high. And that energetically should make us afraid. Because we want to do right. We don't want to make a misstep. And the mistakes we make at that height are bigger. And, of course, that means the lessons are learned in bigger ways as well. As I've been working on myself all these years, the mistakes that I made along the way got bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's really what I'm afraid of. I don't want my next mistake to be so big that it might take me out, right? Because then I won't get any of the work I came to do done. I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm attached to getting my work done. That's an attachment that I have had to continue to release myself from. And so as you find yourself in this state, then you end up at the top of a mountain, and that's not the end. You continue to ascend in even more formlessness, and then there's no mountain anymore. But we got to get to the top together, and then there's a plateau, an energetic plateau that is very well described by many people who have attained enlightenment in the embodiment, a place of complete and total surrender. And no reactions, no attachments, no judgments, and no expectations, where all of that's finally gone, right? No structure. No more mountain to stand on. This is good. And I think that's probably the best way I can describe how fear can be helpful, because it keeps you alive. It helps you to get things done with high consciousness, keeps you in an alert state while you're doing this work. It's not meant to stress you out so much as it's meant to serve you. And by becoming more awakened, we actually learn a lot about how not to stress out about that kind of fear, but to use it instead. And so I think that would be a key point too. Use the momentum that it creates in your body. Use it to your advantage. And that will help you to fast track even more. So that was a good, that's very good, good question, because suffering is complex, isn't it? Very good. Yes, very happy to help all of you today and serve you. If you have anything you'd like to say live before we go ahead and raise your hand, star two. Anything goes. Any questions, comments? Good. All right. I think we have finally reached our end. Let's end with a meditation and a song. And so we will ask, dear Source Field, please help us to maintain a mental cadence that will serve our continued formlessness and the formlessness of all that surround us. Please fill our minds with pure, clear light so that we can see very clearly what programs and traumas and frameworks and mindsets do not serve us anymore. And give us the energy and the stability to assess them and address them. And fill our hearts with that same pure, clear light. Help all the lines blur. Help all of the boundaries disappear. Help us to maintain a state of high heart, unconditional love, unattached, free-flowing, open and shining. And help us to trust our gut, to trust our bodies, these miraculous machines. Help us to trust our soul through our body. Help us to continue to bring all this formless energy and light into the 3D and align our three minds, our brain, our heart, and our gut with the earth and everything she's asking us to do in this formless work. And we also ask access. Help us to access all skill sets in the moment when needed to allow us to reach and attain such formless states that we can be in a pure, wonderful, open service to every person, place, or thing that crosses our path. We want to help answer the wonderful question, what is love? And be able to hold and maintain all the shadow and all the light all at once in that neutral and powerful love. And we bow to you, Source Field, and to each of our friends today and anyone who listens to the replay. And thank you from the soul level. Namaste. And then we can take a nice deep breath. Thank you, friends. And enjoy this song. It's called Vega by my husband, who goes by Bioluminescent.
The moderator has left the conference.